Hey there, I'm Beverly Sartain, and this is the Holistic Coach Legacy Podcast, where you get support in being an impactful and confident coach. In today's episode, we are connecting with Sandy Swanson. Sandy has her ACC through the International Coaching Federation and the NBCHWC, the National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach Certification. We wanted to chat about language, emotions, and humor. And you will hear all three of these topics come forward in various ways. I hope you receive great insights from listening. Thank you for being here. All right, Sandy, welcome to the call. How are you doing today?
I have the coffee jitters, Bev.
You're not alone.
But I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. And I'm sure other people can relate to having the coffee jitters when we're speaking or in front of people or any of those things. So
yeah, we were talking before getting on, and it's like I wanted to be mentally sharp. So I'm like, yeah, coffee. But then I'm feeling it in my body. So
yeah,
is what okay. It is.
We are with you. Feel it and let it move.
All right.
So this is interesting. Our topic for today, we were trying to narrow it down. And interestingly enough, there were these three different things that came through: language, emotions, and humor. And then you and I just decided, let's just talk about all three and see what comes through. So I just wanted to acknowledge that that's going to be our focus for today. And in terms of your backstory, our listeners always love to know a little bit about you, how you got into coaching, and then we'll move into those three topic areas. Where would you like to start?
Sure. Well, I can share how I got into coaching. I came to coaching because, like, I think like a lot of coaches, I was experiencing some challenges in my life. And for me, it was infertility issues, depression, and autoimmune disease. And they all kind of happened around the same time. And the depression was due to my inability to get pregnant. And then other physical symptoms started appearing. I won't go into because it's a long list, and anyone with thyroid issues can relate to that long list of symptoms. But I was seeing so many doctors for the fertility issues, and there was a lot of dismissing, a lot of gaslighting, a lot of being like misunderstood by conventionally trained medical doctors, not being heard by doctors. And that sort of drove my experience of depression down even further. So I became quite stuck. And I remember one doctor, as I was literally walking out the door from her office, she kind of ran after me and handed me some trial packets of an antidepressant med. And she said, "Here, take these. I think you really need them." And her behavior really shocked me. And it was not only because of her sort of cavalier attitude regarding these very serious psychiatric meds, but because, again, I felt so dismissed. And it was at that point, I mean, I knew I wasn't a depressed person by nature, and this depression was circumstantial, so I knew something had to change. So I started researching doctors again, and I dated a few. And by dating, I mean, that's a term we have in the autoimmune community is doctor dating. Mm-hmm. You got to date around before you find one.
I see.
And I found one who would listen and who would order the right tests and treat me properly. And this doctor diagnosed me with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune condition that affects the thyroid. So I finally had an answer, and I kept researching. And you know me, Bev, I like to dive down those rabbit holes. So I researched diet. I found out that what one eats is super important to one's health. Like, who knew? I researched sleep, exercise, supplements, all that stuff. And I regained much of my physical health. And it was to the point where I really wanted to help other people who were also experiencing autoimmune issues. So I came to coaching by way of nutrition coaching. I have my certificate in nutrition coaching. And then I got certified as a functional medicine health coach. And then I became a board certified health coach through the National Board for Health and Wellness Coaches. I didn't even know that ICF existed, the International Coaching Federation. I had no idea what that was, which is kind of funny looking back on that time in my life. But the coach training I took encouraged us to get board certified with the understanding that we would be working in a clinical setting for a doctor. But I had several mentor coaches during that training, and one in particular, she encouraged me to really look past the physical aspect of coaching. And she invited me to dive deeper into the mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual aspects of healing, of coaching. And that's where my understanding and love of coaching really took off. That said, I don't really coach on those, on the physical aspect anymore, diet and lifestyle. That doesn't do it for me. I love to go much deeper with my clients, looking at life through a holistic lens, not just an external physical lens.
Thank you. That's such a beautiful story. We get a lot of people that reach out and they have this like holistic health perspective that they're looking at. And I always find your story really interesting because you went in more on that health level and then really have expanded and grown to the holistic. And that's the same for me in terms of recovery. You know, I came in on the recovery level and then realized, no, it's not just focusing on recovery. It's the holistic. It's approaching this from a holistic. So I love that commonality that you and I have, different niches, but similar experiences.
Yeah. And I think the recovery coaching and the health coaching, they come from sort of a viewpoint of behavioral change, like to make those physical external changes, behavioral habit change. And, you know, I don't want to dismiss that it's important, but if there's stuff going on underneath, if there's stuff on the emotional level, you know, the energetic level, spiritual level, it's going to be hard to make those changes last.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's great. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, because you do have the ICF and you do have the board certified health and wellness coach, how come you hold both of those credentials?
It's a very good question. So and I'm like, yeah, why do I? why do I need all these letters behind my name? And actually it was sort of that, like I wanted some clout, you know, I wanted people to take me seriously. And as I stated earlier, I didn't even know what the ICF was. So the national board was sort of like, I'm going to get board certified. And that's, you know, a 5-hour exam. It's taken very seriously. But health coaching is very new. So it's sort of just starting to get recognized. So when I was looking for jobs, for health coaching jobs, I realized that people were asking for that ICF certification. So I'm like, oh, okay. So let's get certified in that too. And so now I hold both, and I find that more and more people are asking for the National Board certification.
Yeah.
A lot of those people, they do want a health coach. I don't even call myself a health coach anymore because I find that people, there's a lot of education that needs to be done around what a coach is and then what a health coach is.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people who used to come to me, they wanted a meal plan. They wanted nutrition advice. They wanted me to read their labs. And I'm not a doctor. And I don't play one on TV even. So that's not what a coach does. So I'm moving away from the national board. I'm not sure if I'll keep that certification. Yet to be seen. But for now, I have both.
I think it's interesting because, you know, I always look for coaching jobs for students and And I noticed too that more and more people, like, I always see the ICF, and sometimes I will only see the National Board Health and Wellness Coach credential. But that's usually more, like you said, if it's a little, it's more geared towards health coaching, they might only ask for that. Now I'm seeing both on some of the job descriptions. So honestly, I think it makes you more marketable, Sandy, the fact that you do have both.
I think so too. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So maybe I'll keep it.
Maybe I'll keep it. So let's get into language, emotions, and humor. And how come these three areas are so important to you as a person and as a coach?
They became very important when another beautiful mentor coach of mine pointed out their importance to me. So it was because of her that I became sort of hyper keenly aware of how I was utilizing or not utilizing these three things in my coaching conversations, as well as my casual conversations with friends and family. It's amazing, like, what you learn in coaching shows up in your everyday conversations too. But these things, they're the language, emotions, humor, they're often overlooked or misused in our culture. So for example, language is important, and how we use language in our day-to-day lives, as well as our coaching conversations, is important. And the same with emotions. Our culture doesn't allow for emotions to be shown, let alone shared or experienced. And I think that's one thing that coaches can really offer their clients, is that space to fully experience and explore emotions. And then, and then humor was sort of an afterthought, but since I'm so hilarious with you, Bev, we thought we'd throw that in there. And God, I hope people think this is funny too. I don't know. It's like you either have chemistry or you don't. But humor, I think it's many people's default. I'm nervous now, so maybe I'm, you know, throwing it in a bit too much. But sometimes people can use humor to a fault. Yeah. And, you know, maybe we make a joke or we make light of a situation because we don't want to, or maybe we don't know how to deal with a challenging situation. And so if we as coaches have a tendency to make light of something, that's not in service to our clients. And, you know, if you flip that, if our clients are always making jokes about something, then it's up to us as coaches to discover what's going on underneath that nervous laughter or that pattern of making jokes.
Yeah, I did have that happen in a cohort where somebody used humor as almost a deflection. And so I used some direct communication to bring it forward. And honestly, when I did that, it seemed like something shifted for them. And I noticed after that, that they weren't using the humor as much. They were actually sharing more of their authentic self. It was almost by calling it out that they were also able to recognize that they might be self-deprecating or putting themselves down through the humor as a way to deflect attention or look deeper inside of themselves. And as soon as we talked about it, it was like it was lifted. And then we were able to, I feel, move forward in a much more authentic way. Any other thoughts about that when you hear it?
Yeah, as you were talking, I was thinking back to our little pre-record conversation and different personality types. And there are personality types, you know, not to put anyone in a box, but some of us gravitate towards humor. And it comes very naturally. And that's where our mind goes. Some people think very quickly. And that's a strength. And that's a skill. And we can overuse our strengths and skills. So there is a balance there. And for some people, it can be really challenging to break out of that habit.
Yeah. So how would you say that the language, emotions, and humor connect to holistic coaching?
Yeah, when it comes to holistic coaching in particular. So we're looking at the whole person, mind, body, spirit, emotion, energy, all of it. And the body especially is very in tune with the words we use and the emotions we experience. So language, for example, can trigger some very deep responses in our bodies, and emotions can be stored in our bodies. And it's funny because I stated earlier, I don't really coach the physical aspect of healing mm-hmm. anymore, and yet here I am bringing it in. But, yeah. you know, if you've read the book, The Body Keeps the Score, Bessel van der Kolk, you know, so much is stored in our bodies. So there's a lot to the physical aspect when it comes to language and emotions. And with humor, when it comes to coaching, you know, humor is a great way to lighten things up. If you get in too deep with language or emotions, you can throw in something funny, and not to make light of anything or to be silly, but you can lighten something up, and everyone can take a breath. And this is needed in a lot of my sessions when we go deep. You got to have an exit strategy. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but humor is great for that.
That's wonderful. So when you think about language, where do you feel like in the coaching conversation or container is the best place to acknowledge the language or start talking about the language so that the coachee can, you know, think about what language works or doesn't work for them?
Yeah, it usually comes up organically in that first session. So you mentioned direct communication. So if I hear something, I will say something. For example, and we'll talk about active or violent language in a minute. But a lot of my clients will come into that first session and talk about, you know, crushing it or killing it. And and it's like, I'll point it out. And more often than not, you know, I ask at the end of that session what they're taking forward, and they'll say, "Yeah, I've been very intrigued by this language component." And I say that I will bring it up in the future. If I hear something, I will say something. So it happens organically. But even if it doesn't, I might mention at the end of that first session that language is important. It's important to me. So be warned. I will point out things if I hear right. them.
Yeah,
give them a heads up.
Yeah. And so, you know, in an initial session, it could potentially come forward. I'm hearing organically. It mm-hmm. could come forward with what you're hearing and reflecting it back or using direct communication. Any other place that we could talk about it?
What do you mean? Could you clarify?
Oh, just where else would the language maybe come up? I mean, it could come up in a discovery call, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I foresee like an initial session or like you said, organically in a coaching conversation that it would come up.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to dive into the aspects of like active and violent language?
Sure. You can bring forward whatever you like.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to talk about language today, and that's a big rabbit hole, and there's so many aspects of language, especially when it comes to coaching. You know, there's leading language, which we try not to do as coaches. We never want to lead our clients, and metaphors and visuals, that's a whole nother episode discussion. But yeah, if you think about active language and violent language, I mean, this is something that, again, that other mentor coach brought to light for me. So I'd love to share some examples and then maybe explain why these word choices may not be in service to our clients, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So if you think of active language, think of hopping, running, jumping. I already mentioned crushing, killing, maybe nailing it. So we say things without thinking. We say things like hop on a call or run to the bathroom. Maybe we're going to jump into that new book we got from the library. We nailed that assignment, you know, things like that. And then there's militaristic language, which is very violent. If you think about things like the bomb, that blew my mind. Take your best shot. Deploy a new plan. Killing it. Bite the bullet. Fight the good fight. Think about politics. We have battleground states here in the US. And in my health coaching, the idea of being an autoimmune warrior came up a light, or we're fighting disease, we're fighting cancer. And yes, all of these are examples from client sessions of mine. So this language is so common. And I don't know about you, but I was quite numb to the very active or violent nature of these words. But our bodies, my body, our bodies, they know and understand these words. So our bodies are smart. So for example, when I say hop, Bev, like what does your body feel with that word? What does it experience?
Like it goes up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you think about hopping, like you're literally balancing on one foot, you're jumping forward, you're balancing again. It's a very jerky, unsettled movement that is not peaceful. It's not safe because we're trying not to fall. We're revving up our energy into a tight ball and we're going to explode into the next hop. So this is exhausting for our bodies. Hopping can be fun too, yes, but it takes a lot of energy. And
I think it's interesting because like that word doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
And I just had this conversation with somebody else, like a student said, what pops into your mind when I say that? And I actually liked that word, word pop. And so I could see from what you're sharing, I think it like in my perspective, I appreciate like what's being shared and to think about these things. And also I think it's important to talk to people about how they feel about the words, right? So that way we're not assuming these things for other people. We're asking them. Like, I think it's a very interesting conversation that you're bringing forward that you could ask your client how they feel about these words. And that way they can change their language if they're sensing, hey, this word doesn't work for me, or this word doesn't feel good for me. Then we can be on more of a common ground with them and we can be more mindful about the language that we're using. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well said, well said. And I'd like to offer that 95% of our thoughts, action, behaviors stem from the unconscious or subconscious mind. So our minds might think like, oh, it's fine, but our, you know, our brains and bodies, we know what these words mean. So it's like we're subtly, subconsciously responding in a very action-oriented way of pushing forward. And people might not be ready to be pushed forward. I mean, not that we're pushing as coaches, but our nervous systems react to the words we use and the words we hear. And it's my belief that aggravating the nervous system, even in this very subtle way, it's not something we as coaches want to be doing.
Absolutely.
And that's why I say step into a session instead of hop onto a call or run to another call.
Yeah.
And it's just a more gentle way of speaking.
Yes.
That supports our nervous systems and can really support the nervous systems of our clients in our coaching sessions.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so like thinking about that language and then how the language is impacting the whole person, then how do you feel like the language and the emotions connect in a coaching conversation?
I think it goes back to the body. I see people, my clients visibly, I coach over video so I can see them. I see them visibly relax and release. So for example, I have a lot of corporate clients. And there's a lot of crushing. There's a lot of crushing that goes on in the corporate world. There's a lot of
crushing goals.
They're crushing those goals and crushing those deadlines. And I always reflect back and I'll say something like, you know, what if, you know, there's a lot of crushing going on here, client. what if instead of crushing it, you held it gently in your hands? And I will see my bodies relax and let go. And there's such a shift in energy when we change our language and to tie it into emotions. Like once that energy is released, then I think there's space for maybe unprocessed, repressed emotions to sort of come to the surface and be acknowledged.
Yeah. And it's really, I appreciate you sharing that. A lot of the people that you have been working with are corporate type of clients, and like the energy that those people might be experiencing in work culture and just their daily lives. I think that's fascinating, you know, to be in this energy always of meeting goals or deadlines, hustling, and having to achieve and succeed.
Right.
And that all has like a lot of energy to it, you know, again, in terms of the language that you're talking about. And so I think it's wonderful that you can then offer people, to me, that's evoking awareness. You know, you're evoking awareness by offering a kinder, softer language that can then impact their emotions and their body in a different way. And so is the humor. The humor is also a different vantage point of evoking awareness that also impacts the body. Why have the emotions been so important for you to support other people around in your coaching, Sandy?
Yeah, I think allowing space for emotions is one of the most beautiful things we can do for our clients, because in our culture, this just doesn't happen. And so to allow this space for that emotional release, like I mentioned earlier, it's such a gift to our clients. And that mentor coach I mentioned earlier, she had a way of bringing almost everything back to grief and sadness. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, geez, everyone cannot be so freaking sad. And it, like everyone's grieving, really? What's going on? But I realized she was right. There is so much loss in this world. And with loss comes grief. And by loss, I don't necessarily mean like when another person dies, although that can be cause for grief, but loss can show up in many ways. For example, my story, there was so much loss around not being able to be a mother. There was loss around not having the energy to live the life I once lived. I got divorced not long after my experience with depression and my diagnosis of thyroid disease. This too is a loss. And then I experienced the loss of friends and social status, finances, you know, all this stemming from divorce. But I now see that in my clients, and to acknowledge it is something that I don't think is done in our culture.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the opportunity that we have in the coaching too, is to hold the space for all of it. And that's the holistic approach to me, not just the mind, body, spirit, and emotions, but the whole life and the ups and downs of life. So I just really appreciate your perspective here on the language, on the emotions, on, you know, bringing in the humor when it's appropriate and applicable to do so. I think it's a beautiful way to be. Anything else there?
Yeah, thanks. And yeah, I just want to say that once there is an emotional release in a session, then there is room and space for something new. There is room for that change, growth, movement, and action, which is why people come to coaching, because they want to change, they want to grow. But until that space is created, if there are emotions in there causing things to be stuck, it's going to be really hard for someone to move forward in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what you shared earlier about the behavior change. That's why we can't just focus on shifting things externally. And I think a lot of people do that, and we're trained to do that in a sense of just, you know, focus on the outside and keep moving forward and keep accomplishing things. And if I do all of those things, I'm going to be okay. And we're finding more and more people aren't fulfilled with the lives that they're creating, because they're not creating lives that are aligned with what they want on the inside or who they are on the inside.
So for sure. Yeah.
So I know that you have your own podcast, What would you like to share with the listeners about that, if anything?
Yeah, the podcast is done with my friend and fellow coach, David Shen, and it's called The Sandy and Dave Show.
I love when you say that, the way you say it every time.
The Sandy and Dave Show. Da, 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 da.
Right.
And we have a lot of fun. He's a very funny guy. I can be funny too. And we talk about all things coaching. So it's a great podcast for new coaches, especially. We talk about things like emotions, language. We have a whole series on session structure, how to get started as a new coach, things like that. But yeah, I invite everyone to check it out. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, all those platforms.
All those places. Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes because I know people always ask for other coaching podcasts. People love to listen to coaching podcasts, and we'll share that as a resource. Anything else that you would like to offer the listeners or not?
Nope.
Okay. And then, and what's the best contact info?
Yeah, for me. So my website is swansoncoaching.com. And if you look at the top menu, the top page, I have a special page for coaches called Coaching for Coaches. And I have special rates just for coaches. If you want to do some work together or have me listen to a session, give you feedback. I also offer low-cost workshops on things like language and emotions, and sort of on a hiatus right now with the workshops, but coaches can sign up for my newsletter on that page if they want to learn more about all that.
That's perfect. Yep, those are all the things. And then when you think about, you know, your work within the coaching community and just leaving a loving legacy through the work that you're doing, what are you wanting that to be, Sandy?
This was a really hard question. Legacy, that word just seems so deep.
You talk about language, I know.
Yeah. And then my mind goes to death, which is not a bad thing, but it's just like, what do I want to leave? What do I want to leave right now? But
that's it. It's what, yeah. That's what it is to me. It's not, and I hear you, that legacy brings up, I'm gone and I'm leaving something behind. But I think we're leaving the loving legacy now. That's what we're doing with our work. And if that were the case, what do you think that it is?
Yeah. So what I'm hoping that I'm helping people to look beyond that physical, external, action-oriented way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm helping them to experience a slower, more intentional way of being. And I hope I'm helping to create a world where people feel supported and heard and safe, you know, safe in their bodies, safe with emotions, just safe and supported with whatever they may be experiencing in this lifetime. And I think, and if people, you know, after working with me, if they're inspired to offer the same space for others, then I will be really, really grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, from us doing this today, I really see you doing the work that you're saying that you're doing. Mm-hmm. I really feel it. And this was really great for us to go deeper into that language topic, because I feel like you have such a beautiful opportunity to coach these people that are leaders, managers, you know, and in that energy, and that you get to offer them a different energetic within your coaching, I think is something really special, so that they can feel it differently in their bodies, in their nervous systems, and in their minds. And just planting those seeds, we can't always see. That's the thing about legacy too, I think, is we're not always going to see the massive impact that we had on people. But what I know to be true is that in those coaching conversations, there's a sacredness that happens. And I can really see how the language, emotions, and humor is your special way of holding the space for others.
Yeah. Thank you, Bev. I appreciate that.
And, this was really nice. Yeah,
and you mentioned planting seeds, and that's so true. We never know what someone's going to be taking forward from a session. Going back to the unconscious, subconscious, we don't know what seeds have been planted back there.
Yeah.
And that may come to light maybe next week, next month, in 2 years. So,
yeah. And that's why I always enjoy asking at the end, either, you know, what did you learn about yourself, or what did you learn about this situation? So often it is different than maybe what I thought their big takeaway was going to be. And I love being surprised by that, you know, and just hearing what really stood out to them or came forward for them in this beautiful way. I just deeply enjoy hearing that, because those are the little seeds that could sprout into something quite beautiful.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I love that too.
Thank you for sharing this topic about the language, emotions, and humor, and just encouraging people to be conscious about the language that they're using, and to get curious with the client about what language works or doesn't work for them. I think that could be a really interesting part of the coaching. As I was saying that, I also just thought that the middle, like when we do a check-in in the middle of a coaching container, that maybe checking in on the language could be a cool little thing to do there too. So
right.
Yeah. That just popped in right then. So.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say in closing, or are we feeling complete here?
I feel complete, and just thank you for this space and the opportunity.
Absolutely. And if anybody is feeling called to reach out to Sandy, please do so. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bev.
If there's only one thing to take away from today's episode, it's being mindful about the language that you're using with clients, getting curious with them about the language that they would like to use, and lovingly challenge your client should you hear some sort of language that you feel might be getting in the way of what they are trying to create for themselves. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate you being here. And remember that you can be purposeful and prosperous when sharing a loving legacy with the world. Many blessings to you.